Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Hi, this is Kristen Johnson-Largen with the Seminary Explorers podcast, and I'm very delighted to have as my guest today Yvonne Belani, who is a current student with us. He's an exchange student here from Slovakia, and he is going to only be with us till the end of the semester, Yvonne. So I just thought it would be great to have a little time to chat with you about your church and your program there before you leave us. When are you flying home?
I'm flying home next Saturday, so on the 19th of December. I'm flying, and on the 20th, I'll be landing in Vienna.
Oh, my goodness. Are you eager to get back? Are you a little homesick, or are you going to be sorry to leave?
My heart is split between knowing all these incredible people here at Gettysburg, and, of course, I miss my family and my friends, so my heart is split.
Yeah, well, we hope that you'll stay in touch with us, and you'll be able to maybe come back and visit, or some of us can go over and see you over there.
That would be great.
Well, so Yvonne and I were talking before we hit record on the podcast, and Yvonne, you were telling me that you're a member of the Slovak Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession in Serbia. It's a long name. Tell me a little bit about that church.
It sure is. Well, first, I'll start by saying that I'm a Slovak living in Serbia, and I live in the northern part of Serbia that's called the Autonomous Province of Vojvodina. And we have been there for about 200 to 300 years now. It all started during the Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
Oh, yeah, sure.
When the area that's today Slovakia was hit by a very hard re-Catholicization and anti-Reformation. So,
what had it been before that?
Slovakia was Catholic, and during the Reformation, the land of present-day Slovakia was about 90% Lutheran.
Oh, okay. And so then there came this re-Catholicization.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite how you would say it, yeah.
or counter-Reformation.
Sure. Yeah, right.
And so my ancestors fled from present-day Slovakia to south of the country, which today is Serbia.
Oh, okay.
And they were allowed to live there, and they got land and houses because Empress Maria Theresia needed somebody to work on that land because there was no one there since Turks desolated the land.
Oh.
And it's full of fertile land. And she also needed somebody to guard the borders.
So was this kind of a mass migration out of Slovakia of Lutheran?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so most Slovaks that live in Serbia are Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
There are a small percentage of Catholics, too. They mostly live in one village, but most Slovaks in Serbia are Lutherans. And thus, we have our own church called the Slovak Evangelical Church of Augsburg Confession in Serbia. We in Europe are a little more precautious with the term Lutheran.
Okay.
Because it's more of a derogatory term.
Okay, sure.
Especially because of the Counter-Reformation.
Okay.
But I think we're starting to reclaim the word, but still, it's more of a word that's used by Roman Catholics in a derogatory way.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But we do have two different words for evangelical, meaning Lutheran, Presbyterian, Reformed, and Methodist,
uh-huh.
And evangelical in the sense of Baptist, Pentecostal.
Right. And of course, you know that is true here too, right? We are technically the evangelical Lutheran Church of the United States, but in quite common parlance, right, when you use evangelical, that you're referring to the second kind of usage that you were talking about. So in Slovakia, Was it? It's also the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the. I mean, the Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession. It's also not called the Lutheran Church.
Yes, it's Slovakia. Also not.
Oh, okay. Is that in terms of you've seen our Book of Concord, of course. Are there other confessions to which or confessional documents that your church subscribes to, or is it just the Augsburg Confession?
Yes, we do subscribe to the whole Book of Concord.
Oh, you do. Okay.
So. The thing is that just when the Reformation started, that was the first...
Sure.
Of course.
Confession, yeah.
So that's how we were called. And so Vojvodina is a very interesting place because we have a lot of ethnic minorities there, and they call it almost a small EU.
Oh, really?
Because we have six official languages there.
So really?
Serbian, Croatian, Hungarian, Slovak, Romanian, and Russian. Not Russian, but Russian or Ruthenian of the
I've never even heard of that language. What does that mean? Russian. Russian.
Well, they're a Slavic ethnic community. Their language is very similar to Slovak.
Okay.
But they write in Cyrillic.
Oh,
and
okay.
Most of them are Greek Catholics.
Okay. Yvonne, will you spell the name of this area? Because you're saying it, but if I went to look it up on a map, I probably couldn't find it.
V-O-J-V-O-D-I-N-A. And it means Dutchery.
Vojvodina. And it means?
Dutchery. Yeah.
Like
an area left by the Dutch.
It sounds like it must be an exciting, rich place to live.
It sure is, yes. And I live in a town called Bačka Palanka, which is at the borders with Croatia.
Uh-huh.
It lays on the Danube. And so we Slovak and Serbia have our own culture. As I said, we have our own church where the services are in Slovak. We have our own elementary schools in Slovak, our two high schools in Slovak. I went to one of them. Our theater clubs. We cultivate our folk traditions, folk songs, folk dances. We can also study Slovak language and pedagogy mm-hmm. in Slovak and social studies in Slovak. And so we really try to cultivate and to preserve our culture and our language. But what is interesting in Vojvodina is that I feel like we're so used to being around all these ethnic minorities that any kind of hate, well, there is maybe present a little bit, is, I think, discouraged because we all know somebody who is Slovak or Hungarian or Serbian.
Sure.
And so I feel like it's a very interesting experiment, or I don't know how to
yeah.
say it. But
how are the people in Vojvodina viewed by the Serbians?
Well, it's interesting that when you listen to the weather podcast on the news, if it is from Vojvodina, they would say weather in Vojvodina is. But if it's from Belgrade or the southern Serbia, they would say weather in northern Serbia is.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It depends. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is this tension between, of course, because of the situation in Kosovo, that some feel that Vojvodina is maybe wanting a little too much autonomy, because it's not a republic, it's an autonomous province.
Right, okay.
And so they...
You're still a citizen of Serbia.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I can imagine how...
Yeah.
Right. But it's a very interesting question, isn't it, that I think is raised, in our current climate in different ways, but wanting to be distinct and preserve what is distinct and unique and celebrate that, but also then be a part of a larger community that is, you know, maybe different. How different is too different? How much
yeah.
autonomy? You know, so it's interesting that, you know, you sort of are living out of that, about of that reality. Yeah, neat. Well, and you, but you're not studying in Vojvodina. Where are you studying?
I'm studying in Slovakia, in Bratislava. So Bratislava is the capital of Slovakia. And there are a lot of Slovaks from Serbia that go to study in Slovakia. mostly in either in Bratislava or a smaller town called Nitra. And so I'm studying Evangelical Lutheran theology at the Evangelical Theological Faculty of Comenius University in Slovakia.
Everything has very long names.
Yes, so faculty in Slovakia means a school, not a teacher.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Sure. No, of course. Right, right. And how so you said there were I suppose anybody in Vojvodina who wanted to study theology, that's where they would go.
Yes.
And how are you viewed when you come there by those who live in Slovakia?
Well, I feel like in our seminary, it's almost viewed as normal because almost every class has at least one person who is from Slovakia.
Okay. Yeah.
And we also have one teacher who is from Serbia, not from Slovakia.
Okay, yeah.
We also have a professor there of contextual theology, and she's from Serbia. And we also have a PhD student now who is a very good friend of mine who is from Serbia. And so it's just a normal part.
Okay. What percentage of people in Slovakia are evangelical, are Lutheran?
A little less than 10%, maybe 7 to 9% of people.
Okay.
And it's still the second largest church after the Roman Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
In Slovakia.
Okay.
In Serbia, the percentage is much lower. But in Vojvodina, it's maybe 3 to 4%, and on the large of Serbia, it's just a little less than 1% of people.
Okay. Oh, interesting. And tell me about your study. How many years do you study? Do you study the same kind of things that you have seen we study here at the seminary? What's it like?
Our studies last for 5 years, and so since our seminary is not seminary in the U.S. sense of the word, so it's not a church school, but it's part of the university. People can study, and some people do come not intending to become pastors.
Sure.
If we do want to be pastors, after the second year, we enroll within a program of the Evangelical Church in Slovakia to become the candidates for for being a pastor.
Okay. So you kind of have to petition? I mean, does the church have to say that they would accept you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but every theological school in Slovakia has this special relationships with the church of which theology they're teaching. So every teacher that teaches at our seminary has to get a special permission from the church that they are orthodox in what they're teaching.
Oh, I see. Right, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. There's something like that here for Catholics who teach at particularly Roman Catholics who are ordained, mm-hmm. who teach at seminaries. I mean, they have to have kind of the imprimatur of the Catholic Church in some kind of general sense. So, yeah.
So we call it a canonical mission.
Yeah, canonical mission.
Yes.
There it is. Okay.
And so when we enroll in the program, then it lasts for 3 years. And we have to take classes that are prescribed by that program and do all this practical work. Like in the third year, we sing the liturgy in chapel on Wednesdays. And fourth year, we serve at evening services at the seminary where we also preach. And then starting from fourth year and fifth year, every Christmas and Easter, we have to go so we can't go home for the holidays.
Yeah,
so
right.
this is nice.
Yeah.
That I'll
a little
be
break,
home.
You
yeah,
get to be home,
break.
Yeah.
So we go to a congregation somewhere in Slovakia that desires a student, and we serve there for 2 weeks or it depends.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
And our seminary also has a relationship with the Slovak Zion Synod of the ELCA.
Yeah.
And so every summer, students can choose and apply to go to U.S. To any congregation for 3 months of internship. As you know, Slovak Zion Synod is a non-geographical synod.
Right, the only non-geographical synod in the United States.
so they can go wherever. And
do you know
so,
how many congregations are in that synod?
I'm not sure.
I don't either. No. I should know that, but I don't. Yeah. Anyway.
And so 2 years ago, I enrolled in the program, and I was in Reading, Pennsylvania for 3 months. And this year, I decided to go again because I wanted to study somewhere in the U.S., and the Slovak Zion Synod found Gettysburg for me, and that's how I'm here.
Yeah, that's fabulous. When you graduate from your program, will you serve? Do most of the pastors serve somewhere in Slovakia, or could you go back to Vojvodina and serve? Or
yes, so being in the program does not mean that I have to serve in Slovakia. It just means that I am in the process of becoming a pastor in Slovakia.
Okay.
But I can, at any point, I can stop the process.
Okay.
So I am not in any way required to be a pastor
sure.
in Slovakia. So when I finish my studies, I can be a pastor in Serbia, and I can be a pastor in Slovakia too. We'll see where God will take me, but for now, I'm taking one step at a time, and I feel like I'm called to doing PhD studies after my...
Okay. Probably there, or do you think you might would be interested in going somewhere else?
I do not know.
Yeah.
I thought about... Well, my initial thoughts were to study in Slovakia, but now that I've experienced studying somewhere abroad, I have things to discern.
How many more years do you have of your program?
I have one more year. So when I return, I'll start on September. So I'll have half a year. I'll be working for half a year when I go
okay.
back.
Are you hoping to work in a church, or what do you think you might do for half a year?
I will probably work at AT&T.
Yeah. In Vojvodina?
No, in Slovakia.
In
Bratislava.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, from what you've experienced of the church here, how is Sunday morning in Slovakia or in Serbia different than Sunday morning here?
Well...
Or is it very similar?
Not really.
Okay.
I think for me it is similar because since I have every Wednesday we have services at the seminary, Slovak services,
mm-hmm.
every Sunday I actually go to an ELCA congregation in Bratislava.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And it's called the Bratislava International Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a partnership of ELCA with our church, with the Evangelical Church in Slovakia.
Okay.
And so it's a very interesting place because all of these people all around the world go there. And it's just great fellowship with people from Norway, Denmark, Great Britain, USA, Israel, and really, really just from countries in Africa. And it really is a great place. And especially when we pray the Lord's Prayer, everybody prays in their own language.
Yeah.
So it's just...
It's lovely.
Lovely experience. And we also get every year... We get an intern from U.S., if anybody is interested, you can check Bratislava.
And I think we usually have like a young adults in global mission. I mean, often there's a 2-year volunteers that serve there, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's kind of a regular, yeah.
And yeah, there are a lot of people from ELCA that teach at the Evangelical Lutheran Lyceum.
Oh, okay.
In Bratislava.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of
opportunities.
Yes.
Well, when you're home and you're worshiping on Sunday morning, what's different about?
So first of all, our liturgical robes are different. We do not wear albs, but we wear the Geneva robes.
Oh, uh huh.
With white tabs.
Uh huh.
And so I feel like in the ELCA, you have a much more evangelical freedom in doing the services. Our service has to be chanted.
Okay. Luckily, you have a good voice. What do you do if somebody wants to study theology and they don't have a good voice?
Well, we have to, thankfully, we have a miracle worker at our seminary, and everyone who wants to become a pastor has to go through 3 years of techniques of singing.
Really?
Yes.
3 years. Wow.
Yes. And so 6 semesters.
Okay.
And Also, I feel like in many respects, there is services are usually more viable here, like Vivid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Vital, yeah.
Vital, yeah. Because it's still in many congregations, it's the singing is very slow, but I feel like that the new pastors, especially cantors, are trying to change this perspective.
Do they usually use organ? Is there usually an organ?
Yes. Okay. Organ is in almost every church.
Yeah.
And I, one of the biggest minuses I see in our liturgy is that the same thing that was a thing here in U.S. and maybe still is in some congregations, that we usually have the Eucharist only four times a year.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
so
you're right.
The more, the most progressive churches, if I can call them that, have the Eucharist once a month.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but you're right. I mean, there are places. I don't know of any Lutheran congregations that still only do it four times a year, but I do know some that once a month or even, you know, maybe every other week or something like that. But yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What age do you usually do First Communion?
I think it changed when I went. We do it at the same time as confirmation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We used to do that here that way also, but as you know, that's also changing here.
I'm sorry. And so I received my first communion when I was 12, but I think now it's almost like 14 and 15.
Oh, interesting.
Which I think, and a lot of pastors are complaining about this because there is this like blank space between being a kid and going to church,
right?
And then there are not a lot of activities maybe for in the liturgy for people to experience God, and so when it's already at 15, people are not that connected to the church.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Well, that it's funny that it's going older, actually, because, of course, here, you know, it's getting younger and younger. When my husband went through, he was also communed for the first time at confirmation. But now, of course, we're communing younger and younger.
But there are a lot of, like, youth ministries in Slovakia. And I feel like, in that sense, there is a way of renewal of trying to reach out to younger people, and also trying to reach out to marginalized communities, for example, Roma communities in Slovakia.
Right.
And I feel like it's still a hard work, but I feel like the churches are actually doing a wonderful job, because when working with people like this, I feel like there is a need for personal touch and for relationships.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is the place, this is the thing where we still need to work on. And especially diaconia, it's, as you know, both Slovakia and Yugoslavia were socialist countries.
Mm-hmm.
So they both took care of the poor, and they did not allow churches to take care for the poor.
Of course, sure.
Because that is the most like effective way of doing evangelism, right?
Through
helping people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like now, after all these years, after communism, churches are again have to learn how to take care of the poor and take care of the marginalized.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is the part of our job, of what it means to be the church, that is emphasized today in our churches.
That's really interesting, the idea of needing to relearn in some ways this practice, because it was basically taken from you, or, you know, done by, that's fascinating. And you're right, I mean, I think that, and certainly, I mean, our own churches here, we struggle with that too. I mean, seeing that it's an integral part of who we are, and living out of that, that's very interesting. Yeah. Well, Yvonne, we've come to the end of our time. I don't want to keep you longer than we have, but it's been a delight to talk with you, and want to thank you for all the ways that you've enriched our community this fall. We'll certainly miss you when you go, and keep you in our prayers as you do your discernment for what God's going to be doing for you next.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from Historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.